Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the first Blog Talk Radio show, Haitian Voodoo with Mambo Odette. Thank you. Our topic is about Kwanzaa, or initiation, in the Jaspawa. Now, I say Jaspawa, okay? If y'all want to be petty, hang the fuck up now. I don't say diaspora. I cringe when people say diaspora. So since this is a Haitian program, we're going to say Jaspawa. If you don't like it and you want to be petty, like I said, hang up. So we're talking about initiation, and let me break it down. Jaspawa is Haitian people like in Canada and France and in the U.S., you know, outside of Haiti. The Haitian people who live outside of Haiti, they call you Jaspawa. Okay. Like Carnival something, they will say, well, you know, certain compa groups, they will say, well, they live in Florida or something like that. They can't make the carnival video because they Jaspawa. They look at you different, you know. They look at you different when you are Jaspawa. But that's number one. That's the number one thing that everybody needs to know. It's me and Sammy. Me and my little dog Sammy here. We had a little incident take place where, and I got somebody in queue here. I'm going to get to you in a minute, but we had a little incident take place where, you know, just before the show, where, you know, the kitchen, you know, had all the smoke in there and everything. So me and Sammy were sitting outside here to do the talk blog. So you probably will hear, you know, I don't know, lawnmowers or, you know, traffic something, you know, traffic or something, because, oh my goodness, it was a terrible thing. It was a terrible thing. But regardless, the show must go on. The show must go on. So I'm going to give you guys some background information. Before we talk about initiations outside of Haiti. I want to talk about we're going to go all the way back to slavery. And I know a lot of people, and it's not Haitian people or African American people. It is usually, you know, people who are white who say, "Oh, forget about slavery." But we can't. And for those of you who say forget about slavery, you know, they're putting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. So I hope that refreshes your memory. I hope that keeps your memory refreshed, because we'll never, ever forget. But, you know, it was a different kind of slavery in Haiti. It was a very, very brutal. The French were just brutal slave masters. So the people died quickly. They only lived like 5 to 7 years, and they were always bringing new slaves in from Africa to replace them to work in Haiti, to work in the sugar. Always. So the people were not really Haitian. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? The people were African. They were African. Because, you know, they were always bringing new people in. So they really, it wasn't like slavery in the U.S. where they had like generations of, you know, of slaves, you know, and like this, you know, and they handed them down within the family or sold them or whatever, and they, you know, they were born here and so forth. They were constantly bringing them in from Africa. So therefore, we had a mixture of different spirit religion, different type of voodoo, from different parts of Africa, whether it was like the Congo or you know, or Yoruba or whatever, you know. But it was a blend. It was a blend. And people say, like, what happened at Bwakaima, that this was against, you know, traditional voodoo, because my stance is that, you know, you should do your initiation, your konzo, in Haiti, and that it is not traditional Haitian voodoo to do it outside of Haiti. And so, you know, just like, you know, voodoo had to, I don't know the word, but it had to, like a butterfly, you know, it goes from a caterpillar to a butterfly, it metamorphosizes, you know, and it changes. It had to change to fit the situation, and there was not, you know, the traditional way. It was blends of different styles of voodoo. So, you know, Haitian people have been leaving Haiti because, you know, my Uncle Leo said he left because of the president, you know, because of political reasons, you know, and this was back in the 60s, you know, so people have been leaving. Hold on, there goes the mail truck. But people have been leaving because of, you know, whatever it is, you know, political reasons or economic reasons or whatever. Since like maybe the 1960s, there is a mass migration, and it's changing who Haitian people are, and it's changing, you know, what voodoo is. It's changing it. You know, as the Haitian people change, the voodoo is changing. So does the voodoo need to change to fit the diaspora? Brings me back on topic to the topic, which is you know, initiation outside of Haiti. I personally feel that, you know, because the spirits adopted Haiti as their homeland, that there are certain spirits that do not leave their habitaché. You know, and Haiti is their habitaché. They don't leave it. So you have to go there. You know, there are many, 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 many reasons. But I want to hold my opinion until the end. I want to hear from other people. I want to hear from other people. I want to hear what, because, you know, this is only an hour program. The next program is going to be 2 hours. But I want to hear what your position is as far as initiation, you know, outside of Haiti. And before I take this next caller, Erica 302, I'm going to just say that our next program, and somebody's calling me, please don't call me during this radio program. If you have my phone number and you have my new phone number, don't abuse it. Don't abuse it, okay? You know that I take calls openly after 7 p.m. for my clients, openly. I set this time aside for you. Let me have some time, too, if I want to do something else. Now, like I was saying, our next program is on Daddy Bookman. Yes. It's on Daddy Bookman. It's on, you know, people can't believe, you know, that he is of the Islamic faith, that he was a Muslim, that, you know, this is, you know, a man who could read the Quran or the Koran. I don't know how they pronounce it exactly, but he was a priest, you know, and now he's a loa. Yes. And people, you know, there's so little written about Daddy Bookman because he is not, I would never say he's not a big spirit because he is to Haitian people, you know, even though, like I said, he was born in Jamaica, but you have to realize that the people at this time were not Haitian, even though they were in Haiti. You know, they were always bringing in new slaves. So, you know, some of them may have been from the Islamic faith, even though he was born in Jamaica. You know, some of them may have been able to read the Quran and taught, you know, the next person or something. There's so much. And that's why I decided to do his talk blog subject on for 2 hours. 2 hours instead of one. Okay, let me figure out how to take my first caller. Hold on here. Okay. Erica 302, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is my godson. This is my godson, but I will let you introduce yourself. Introduce yourself, please.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dylan. I come with honor and respect. I can't talk long, but in my opinion, Haiti is the birthplace of this. I personally want a conzo, and I know in order to do that, I have to go to Haiti. It's just unacceptable here. It's just my opinion, because that's where the spirits reside. It's in Haiti. That's where it started. So that's where the spirits are. It only makes sense to go there and initiate.
Exactly.
That's just my personal opinion.
Exactly. Okay, I'm gonna pose a question. Don't think y'all just gonna call in and just state what y'all gotta state. You know I gotta ask the question. You said
yes,
that
ma'am.
it's your personal opinion that you
mm-hmm.
need to initiate in Haiti.
Because a lot of people, you know, they'll argue you down, and, you know, they say, well, I've conzoed here, and I just say okay.
I don't even ask the question. Okay.
I'm sorry, love, but you...
Okay. The people will say, if you are initiated in the U.S., that you are half conzoed or halfway seated to your spiritual seat.
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you something, because you know some people are born, you know, to their spiritual seat. They are these spirits are with us. They're handed down in families and so forth and so on. So and our DNA and our bloodlines. So do you really feel that this tradition cannot go on unless somebody's feet hit Haiti, that it would have to die if somebody, Jehovah, cannot go back to Haiti?
No, I don't feel like that. I feel like if it's in your bloodline, you know, if the spirits are interacting with you and coming to you in your dreams and things, you know, your mom or your father, grandmother, grandfather, et cetera, you know, if they served and you're over here in America, it's who you are. You naturally have it. I do believe that.
I personally feel that, you know, there is a saying that says, you know, where God guides, he provides.
Yes, ma'am.
So I personally feel, because I can speak from my own personal experience, that if you are meant to initiate, the spirits will call you back to Haiti, and you will find a way to get there if you got to swim. That's just
exactly.
How strong the desire is, the magnetic, the pull. It's magnetic. And that I'm speaking from personal experience, you know. When my Papa Kanzo, when he called Ogufori said to me that he will work and pay for my initiation, and he did.
Yes, indeed.
Any client I did work for in the name of Ogufori, they saw the most beautiful results. Because
absolutely.
He was working, you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
He was working for me. You understand?
I do. I believe if Kanzo is for you, and you will know, nothing can stand in your way.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's going to stand in your way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. 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 That is true. That is so,
the
so,
spirits
so,
will
so
make
true.
A way for you. You'll
mm-hmm.
find the money. I mean, when it is your time to conjure, when you feel it calling you, as you
mm-hmm.
as you used to tell me, when that's all you can see,
that's
I
all
mean,
you can see. Hey,
you on the
you
first plane
eat,
out.
You can't sleep. You can't do nothing until you go and take your responsibility.
Mm-hmm. But don't know that feeling
and
when
then,
the spirit
and
rides
then
you like that.
And then I'm going to tell you because Dylan has been right there at my right side. I'm going to tell you, after you have your konzo, don't think your life, you know, because I know some priests and priestess will tell you, oh, after you konzo, you're going to find a big amount of money. You're going to have a, you know, bell tie, you know, everything going to be nice, something. But God, wait a minute. Okay?
Exactly.
Hold up. Let me tell you firsthand, that's when every bitch going to come out the woodwork. Hey!
And then try you.
And you're going to be tried and you're going to be tested spiritually. And by just, you know, just by, you know, malicious people, too. Just by malicious people, too. You know, you will be tested. Good unless it's tested. You hear me? You never
yes,
know
indeed.
Who your best friend is until you tell them no. Even you have the ability to tell them yes. When you tell them no, you're going to see who they really are.
Yes,
so the
indeed,
Spirit
love.
Is going to test you. The Spirit is going to test you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I don't
okay?
mean to cut you guys short.
Go
but
to
I
work.
To,
you're going to make that. Go
yes,
make that
love.
Money out.
Because I'm headed to Haiti.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. I'm
okay.
headed to Haiti, love. Yes.
Know, that's right. All right. We got
right,
two more callers in the queue. Okay, my love.
Hey.
I love you. Let me
I love
take
you.
The next one. All right, baby. Okay, area code. What area code is this? Lord, y'all know I'm blind as a damn bat. Okay. Erica 315. This is my first time working this little studio. They give you like a little studio. Okay, Erica 315. Okay, and then I'm gonna do 954. You've been holding longer. I'm sorry, but Erica 315. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello?
Who's speaking? Who's speaking?
Oh,
yes.
Naeem.
Hello, my love.
It's
I'm
Naeem.
Sorry.
Naeem.
Hey, Naeem.
Oh, how you
yes,
doing?
I know. I'm okay, my love. I'm okay, my love. Okay. Let me first ask you, what is your position on whether people should have to go because let me break it down, because Naeem, you know, I can speak and I don't have to worry about no slick shit with you.
Yeah.
The Muslim, he go to where he go? Mecca?
Yeah.
He gotta go to Mecca. The Jew go
mm-hmm.
to Israel. You want to be
mm-hmm.
in Haitian voodoo, you need to go to Haiti.
Yeah.
But everybody don't feel like that, okay? So tell
mm-hmm.
me, what's your position? What's your position?
I feel like you should learn, because, you know, like, some spirits, they have tradition, and the tradition come from Haiti. So you should, like, at least
mm-hmm.
learn. Sooner or later, I think, it should be able to evolve somewhere else, because it's like from, you know, Africa to Haiti. It had to, you know,
mm-hmm.
it had to move. Some type of way it's going to have to evolve. In the conditions that most people that have African blood in America, they're going to have to need their own type of pathway on the spirit. So.
And you know what? You know what? I'm just speaking from the, hold on. Hey, Nicole Vinny. Hey, PC. Vinny. I'm just speaking from the perspective of somebody who's Jasper Wallace. I want you to speak from the perspective of somebody who is African American, because a lot of African American people are drawn to Haitian voodoo. A lot
yeah.
of white people, a lot of people from all over the world. You wouldn't believe Haiti is so dang small for everybody to be so drawn to Haiti, and there's a reason.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason. I just feel like as African American, we kind of like been blindsided, you know, all of our culture was taken from us. So I don't know if most spirits probably pulling us back to probably Haiti, you know, pulling us into voodoo so we can have some type of connection to our ancestors. But
yes,
it's probably some type of pull because, you know, we lost everything.
Okay. So do you feel like oh, my little dog is sneezing because I done lit the cigar, poor thing. Do you feel like this dog is funny? Do you feel, so I'm gonna have to put it out as a terrible thing, but do you feel that you can have your initiation in the U.S.? Because you see, I will lather your tat here. I will wash your head here. She's very, very close to the condo.
Yeah, I was planning on that. So I believe if the spirits allow, you know, if they allow it, you know, it's all up to the spirits, I think.
That's the bottom line. It's up to the spirits.
Yeah, like they.
They
decide at the end of the day. So, if the spirit want to come on the earth, it could happen, you know?
Yes. Yes, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. It's up to the, it's not up to, you know, if the spirit want to initiate you in a jail cell, if they want to initiate you, you know, in the desert, you know, wherever they want to initiate you, they can.
Especially when times is hard. And you need, like, the ancestors and all that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's right. Okay. Well, let me get, thank you so much, Naeem. Thank you so much for calling in. Let me get to area code 95. Let me see here. 954. You've been holding so long. I'm sorry. Hold on, area code 954, are you there?
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
I'm speaking. Yes,
hi,
who's speaking?
There.
Hey, it's
Linda.
Hey, okay, Linda. Linda, let me ask you. I'm sorry?
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm so tickled pink. It seemed like everything wanted to go wrong like 30 minutes right before.
That's what the enemy do. Try to keep you away from your blessing.
You know what I said? I said it's going to have to wait for 1 hour. Okay, Linda, what is your position about initiation? Should it, you know, should you know, people outside Haiti change and evolve, or should we try to stick as close to traditional Haitian voodoo as possible, including going back to Haiti to initiate?
I think my personal opinion, I think we should try to stick to the tradition. We have a tradition for a reason. Okay?
Exactly.
It's, I know Haiti's in our blood no matter where we go, but our ancestor, our loi, is from Haiti. That's where we need to be when we welcome them back to work for us. We need to go back and visit the land that our ancestors fight for, that our ancestors bleed for.
Exactly.
So
that's what I was talking about. About, you know, about the slavery and about, you know, about not only that, but they fought for years. They fought the British. They fought the French. They fought the Spanish. They fought the, you know, they fought a lot of
people. God said we beat Napoleon.
And the only way. Exactly. Yeah. Not just Napoleon, but, you know, this was a 13-year war, not just Napoleon. After the French left, you know, this is a gold mine. Slaves were worth money and everything. It was a gold mine. Everybody wanted to take Haiti. Here come the French. Here come the British. Here come the Spanish. Had to fight all of them.
Yes.
Had to fight for years.
For that, right.
And, you know, our ancestors said, we cannot let anybody come on this island and control us, or they will make us slaves again. And I feel that way about voodoo. We can't let no outsiders come and control us. It's a slippery
slope. And thank you for dealing
when
with
you
me
start
and
to
one of my
initiate outside of Haiti.
Okay. Yeah, dealing into one of the question I have, or one of another question I have is, okay, I know I do feel I didn't know anything that I didn't know people in the U.S. actually do convo in the U.S. until I read it on the internet. To me, that was a shock to me because even though I didn't know much about voodoo, but in my heart, no matter what, I've always been. The Loa always been calling me to visit my homeland. They always call me to go there. And even though when I wanted to practice, all in my mind, I was thinking, oh, I need to go back to Haiti. I need to go back to Haiti. What I need is in Haiti. The problem is
I was saying
in the internet that people are doing that in the U.S., it's all new. And I don't think we're going to get the same effect. It's not the same when you do it down here instead of going down and really step on your mother's land and your ancestors' land.
Exactly. That's what I tell people. I say, go back to your habitat, Shay. Go back to your parasol. Go back to wherever, whatever ville you're from in Haiti. Go back there. You know, they will accept you, you know. But the problem is, and I want to pose this question to you, the problem is a lot of people who are Jasper Wab, okay, they take a plane to Haiti, get off from the airport, and they don't know nothing about Haiti. They don't know where they're going. They don't know left
and
right.
Thank you, because that was my next question, too.
That's when I coach you. But I'm saying, you know, if you don't have somebody to help you, or you don't have, you know, I don't know how to, like, a lot of people, all their family is here. Like, in Delaware, Haitian people, we're, like, third generation up here, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, you might have, like, a loop, you know, a very, very far-off cousin. You're not very, very close in blood or something. But, you know, what does somebody like that do when, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's
so called to go back, but you don't know anything.
You don't know anything. You feel, you know, you feel new. You feel alone. But I do believe that if it's in your heart, if it's strong in your heart and the spirit is calling you, when you get there, you know exactly what to do. And then the spirit will also bring you a person to guide you.
That I do believe. Yes.
And sometimes you have to go out there and try and figure out things yourself. Try and find your ancestor that's down there, cousins, third cousin, family, friends. Somebody knows somebody. You can find information.
Exactly.
I feel like the information is there. You can search it. Yes, it's scary, and I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people, especially my generation or the generation after me, are doing their Kwanzaa here because they think it's safer and it's because they don't know anybody. So they might do it there.
That's my next point, security. You know, the media is a beast. You see how they portray the African-American. You see how they portray the Muslim. You know, the French killed, I think, 1.5 million Muslims I might have to find it and post it up for you. Algiers somewhere. They don't talk about that. You know, they portray them like they're so civilized. So, you know, they want to portray Haiti in such a bad light. Let me tell you, I've been robbed in Miami. I've been robbed in New Jersey. I ain't never been touched in Haiti.
You got to say Mambo or Dad. We are the first black nation. They're embarrassed by that. Of course they're embarrassed by that. So we'll always be the mistreated nation.
Always.
The abandoned nation. They'll always be them because white people, they didn't like what we did. They didn't like what we did. Okay, we went out here. The first black nation, that's big.
Exactly.
Even
they,
when
you
come
know,
and
they,
help
they
us, they're not going to help us fully.
They thought that it was impossible, you know. They thought that it was impossible, you know, what we did. But with our spirits, anything is possible. And every Haitian person needs to remember that. Anything is possible with our spirits, you know. But you know, they portray Haiti in such a way that it instills fear in people.
Fair.
And people, but let me tell you, when I get on the airplane and I look around, there's a bunch of white people on the plane, you know, usually missionary people. There's, you know, some business people. There's like some people, I don't know what you call them, like Middle Eastern people, like Lebanese or people from India, you know, and then some Haitians. But, you know, I wonder, like, you know, what are all these people doing in Haiti? Because, you know, sometimes I go to Haiti up to, you know, 3-4 times a year. And I see that Haiti has many people from many different countries. You know, I've met people from Germany, all over. You know, there is a fear that is putting people, you know, that keeps them away from Haiti. And you're going to be kept away from a good thing. You know, Haiti is not called the pearl of the Caribbean for a reason. It's a beautiful place. They don't show you that. They want to show you the slums. That's all they want to show you. They don't want to show you, you know, up in the mountains or you know, the beaches or, you know, they don't want to show you that. They want to show you the slums.
Yeah. And also, too, I also blame our parents because my fear didn't come from television. My fear didn't come from what the media was telling me about Haiti. My fear came from my parents, my parents' friends, the people really around me. I used to be in Miami, later Haiti, the one that said, oh, my God, I'll never go back there. That's where my fear then when they come to me, yes, they talk about how some part of people, once in a blue moon they'll talk about it, but they always talk about the killing in the street, the blood in the street. That's what they talk about. They talk about they
don't
want to go
back.
Well,
you know what? That's true. If I listen to my Uncle Leo, I would never go back to Haiti. I would never go to Haiti because at the time when he left Haiti, the thing he said is true. Politically, you know, the government was very, very corrupt. A lot of people left Haiti because of political reasons at that time.
Yeah.
And he told me, you know, that how bad the police were, how they would just put you in jail for nothing, you know. It was just terrible. People lived, you know, very, very in fear. So, you know, if you came from Haiti at that time, like the generation before, they have reasons why they never want to go back. My Uncle Leo went back to a funeral, and then he passed in the Bahamas for a certain amount of years, and he has children in the Bahamas, and he went to the Bahamas for his daughter's funeral. But, you know, to go into Haiti, he won't do it easy, even though, you know, the security is different now, and it's not the same anymore. But it was so bad back then. It was so bad that really scarred a lot of people, and they tell, you know, their children that to warn them because they figure, you know, if it happened once, you know, it's possible again something. But I understand when people of you know, a later generation speak about never wanting to go back to Haiti. I can understand that. I can understand that. But this generation here, you know, I really feel it's up to us to rebuild Haiti. If not, when you go to Haiti, you're gonna you know, it's going to be like the U.S., you know. Things are going to be like in Petroville. You go to Petroville, you go in the market. It's owned by the Arab. It's owned by the people from the Lebanese. It's owned by the people from India, just like here.
Wow.
You know, yeah, and you know, if you don't go back and claim what's yours, when you do go back, you're going to make sure it's not even Haiti. And the Haitians are the ones that's going to stay poor.
No, you'll go back it'll be like you're visiting a country. It won't be your country anymore.
It won't even be your country. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But that's a whole other show. But that's a whole other show. But I'm telling you, you know, this fear of going into Haiti that you're going to be kidnapped or you're going to be, I don't know what you call it. You know, a lot of there was a time when there was a lot of kidnappings in Haiti. But these were people who live in Haiti. They might have been a competitor to somebody. You know how competition gets real ugly, even in this country.
Yeah.
In Haiti, you know, sometimes people can do stuff and get away with it if they know people, you know, who are police or politicians or something like this. And you know, that's why, you know, when I'm in Haiti, I don't get involved in political things. That's number one. You know, I have my own little, you know, list of things here that keep me protected when I'm in Haiti. But, you know, I take the tap by myself. Something like this, you know, I know the whole department by hand. I go to the restaurant, something, sit down, eat, you know, if I want. I don't have to sit down and wait for somebody to come in the evening before I can eat, you know, or whatever. And like I said, I don't feel like my life is threatened or in danger at all. I don't feel that at all. So
okay,
people
that's bringing
really,
me back to
really, really have the wrong idea.
Okay.
They have the wrong idea. I'm sorry? I think I lost my caller.
No, I'm here.
Okay, Linda. Okay. You're speaking with somebody.
That bring me back to my no problem. That bring me back to my next question. Okay. For I know I'm being called, but how do you know if that the law wants you to counsel? How do you know that's your calling?
Oh my
life?
Gosh! Let me tell you something. Everybody wants to say, "The Lord chose me. The Lord chose me. The Lord chose me." Them is usually the main ones the Lord didn't choose. You know, just like the person always talk about, I go to work and I just come home and mind my business. Them is the main ones always in the mix.
Yeah.
The one who the Lord choose, number one, okay, I'm going to give you an example. My father have my sister and I. My sister never had the Loa chase her, trouble her, and really, really want her attention. Never. She have a Mercedes. She have a 3-level house. She have 2 master's degrees, you know, from Ivy League schools. And I think there's only 8 Ivy League universities in this country. And she have master's degrees from Columbia and from Brown in Rhode Island.
Wow.
You know, she drive a Mercedes, everything. The Lord bless her. Even she don't serve them.
Yeah.
Because they're there for her protection. And they're there for her prosperity. And they're there for everything. But the Lord chose me to carry it on. So when I choose a different path, they want to trouble me. They want to make things difficult for me. Ogu Farai will put you behind in jail. You know, he's the police officer. Yeah, when I dream of the police, I know that's him. You know, it's not usually. Voodoo is handed down in families. Is what I'm trying to tell you. So if you know a couple has 10 kids, the spirits may pick one to carry it on. The Loa still walk with the other 9, still bless their life, everything. But they're going to choose that one to carry it on, to be the priest, to be the priest of something. You know, that person needs to take their responsibility, chase you. And they're not chasing you and making your life hard because they don't like you. They do it because they love you.
Yeah.
Because they want you to turn to them. They want you to turn to them. They try to turn you back around. Sometimes you have to back somebody into a corner, make them uncomfortable, you know, to get their attention. Sometimes a lot of people, let me tell you, in Haiti, they say when you dream of the Loa, you must serve them. Okay, if you dream of them, you must serve them. That don't mean you got to be a priest or a priestess. That don't mean you have to kundu a sagwe. Okay? Some mambo, everybody come to him, they kundu them a sagwe. This is, we don't even want to go there. But all I'm saying is that, you know, the Loa can be with you, can walk with you, can pass down in your families, and that's how voodoo is handed down in your families. You know, your family teaches you how to serve them, et cetera, et cetera.
But why do you
not have
your
like,
family?
And I understand that because, you know, even the simplest thing, like Cousin Zaka, how to prepare his food for him. If your family never show you or you never in the kitchen and you see how they prepare the food for him, put it in the calabash, everything, serve him, then bury it in the ground. If you never see how they do that, then, you know, it's not really being handed down to you. But if you see how they do that, if somebody comes along and says, you don't do it like that, say, uh-uh, this is how we do my cousin, okay? My Zaka eat like this. This is how we prepare his food. You know, you don't go in the restaurant and buy his food. You don't, you know, have the next person prepare their food. It is handed down in families how you prepare your Zaka's food. So that's how voodoo is supposed to be handed down. But like I said, because of the break, because of the migration that took place, you know, from the 60s, and it really has slowed down now, I'd say to about the 80s, maybe even the 90s. The 60s to the 90s, the mass migration that took place from Haiti to the U.S. to Canada to wherever somebody could leave and go. Because of that, you know, there has been either you have lost how to serve your family spirit, or they had to evolve. I know. Me personally, the way I serve has to evolve because of the climate that I'm in. Because of the climate that I'm in, I cannot serve the way I want to serve or that I feel I should serve or how, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's so many things that affect you serving. But back to your question of how you know, if the spirits call you, they're handed down. They're handed down in our families. They're handed down, you know, through our DNA. Outside of that, you may have to question. Outside of that, you're suspect to me. But if you are within the bloodline, you're family. I don't give a darn if your family ain't served for 10 generations. You're still family. And that's the way I was treated. That's the way I was treated when I went into Haiti. That's how I was treated. So that's why I tell people, don't be scared to go back. Don't be scared. You know, don't wait till things get really bad and you have to, you know, you have to go back because you need help, you know, spiritual help. You know, or you done caught some dreaded disease that no doctor can cure, and then you got to go back because you know there are diseases from God and then there are diseases from man. So, you know, don't let the Lord have to get your attention like that. You don't want that. You don't want that. But we got 15 minutes left. Somebody's been holding on for 28 minutes. So area code, I'm 201.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you.
I love
okay.
you, Linda.
All right, bye. Okay, bye.
Okay, Erico 201, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, who's speaking, love?
My name is Hadassah. Could you hear me clearly?
You know, it's kind of sketchy, but...
All right,
but,
hold on 1 second.
You know,
we're going to do what we
got to do.
What about now?
Yeah, go ahead, sweetie. Just go ahead. We're going to... this program isn't going on the way I had planned. Nothing about this program is the way I had planned, so don't worry
about
it.
I'm sorry. When I first dialed in, I was in my home and it was quiet, and now I'm out walking. So if you hear any background noise, I don't want
to
interrupt the show.
You might have to be in nature, you know?
Yeah. I needed to get out. My family's not from Haiti. My family's from Jamaica.
Yes.
And, you know, many years they used to always try to distinguish between Jamaicans and Haitians with their beliefs. But when you live close with one another, you get to find out that your beliefs are just all the same. It's just
exactly.
a different location, a different language, but pretty much the same spirit.
Exactly, my love. Exactly.
And it sometimes it takes for us to get together to realize that. My mother transitioned, and I knew when my mother transitioned that I actually received something from her, but I really couldn't explain it to no one.
Okay, my love. Yes.
And I became...
You know what? I just want to chime in here real quick, and then I'm going to let you... My father served Freda, Azili Freda, and he served her. And when he died, I got his Azili, and he always said that she brought him to this country safely. So I totally understand that concept of when, you know, a parent dies, you receive their loa or their spirit. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
And it's so strange because some of the very same things that happened to my mother throughout the course of her life, like her trials and her triumphs, I'm going through the very same things now, but they're so confusing because I'm having to go back and piece together puzzles. But to make a long story short, the thing that affected me the most is that I got attacked from within, from my own bloodline. And I know that some people are doing things that they should not against myself and my children. And I know if I was to really go back and reconnect, I know that I could be a major, major threat to them, but that's not my intention. But I want to set the record straight and make things right for the future. Do you have any suggestions?
Okay. Exactly. Your question to me is, do I have suggestions as to what you can do to reconnect with your spirits? What do you mean by make things right?
I do want to reconnect and do what I'm supposed to do because my mother was a healer. And she worked with her bush and she worked with her cheese and she worked with trying to help everyone.
Okay. I understand that. And as a matter of fact, I have a website if somebody is interested in any racine or any bush, as she calls it, or any herb from Haiti. You know, we have the Circe, we have the Zodavan. I have all kinds of tea and everything. Just message me through Facebook or through my website something. I have a website full of nothing but racine herbs like this. So when you tell me your mother was a healer, it really, really touches me. I'm still very, very, you know, you got to bear with me. I'm still very unclear as to your question. And a couple things stick to me when you say that people, and because I know sometimes family can be the worst ones when you walk this path. They can be the worst, the most negative.
My family needs healing.
Exactly.
Now,
they're doing something to you?
Yes, they have been, but I've been able to protect myself to the best of my ability, and I'm constantly trying to purify my space and help my children walk through the grief, because I don't want to do to them what they've done to me. That's not the type of power that I want from my ancestors.
You need spiritual protection. That's what I would suggest to you. Spiritual protection is one of the first type of leglamas that I learned how to do. And it's essential. It's essential in any type of spirituality, like African-based spirituality path you walk. Spiritual protection is essential, my love. I would suggest, number one, that you get spiritually fortified. As far as your family, they have their life. You know, you have your life. You know, you understand what I'm telling you? Even when it comes to your children or people very, very close to you, you have your life. They have their life.
Right,
you know?
I understand.
So the thing you want to know, if I have any suggestions, and if anybody else has any suggestions, besides the people who are in queue, because I think they're in queue for something
you,
else.
Let me clarify for you then. I want to learn what I'm supposed to learn and at the same time protect myself. And I know that what I have, I'm supposed to pass it down. I'm kind of like, I have a feeling that the child that's giving me the most burdensome worries right now is the one that I'm going to end up passing it to.
Exactly.
He's going to have a karmic tie. He's doing to me what I did to my mother when I was a teenager. It's like I'm reliving my life all over again through one of my sons.
Your mom probably said that too. Wait till your kids do that to you someday. But you know, I understand what you said to me about you feel, and you can actually feel when you receive that spirit from your parents. When you remember, you never forget the instant you received that spirit.
Yeah,
did
but
you receive
come
that
to
spirit
me.
In a
my,
dream
my ancestors,
or in a vision?
Yeah, my ancestors come to me sometimes in my sleep. Sometimes my ancestors would speak to me right there. I mean, when I first saw my mother, before I saw my mother and when I saw her, I heard two distinct voices. And I knew it wasn't just my mind.
Exactly. Okay, love, do you I want to say serve, but that may not even be the correct term. But do you feed your ancestors? Do you take care of your ancestors?
Well, somewhat, but I'm not sure if I'm doing things the right way. Like, I haven't really officially set up an altar. I have things for them, but I'm just starting now to do the fruits and put out things that I know that they like.
You know, it can be something very simple as every day you wake up and you make a pot of coffee and you go outside and you sprinkle it or do libation with it in the ground.
I have done that. Okay. I have done that, but I didn't know what I was doing. Like I said, I've been trying to piece
That's
together
because
the
spirit
puzzle.
Is teaching you. Even you don't know what you're doing, they let you know what you need to do, you know, and then later on you're going to see the thing you do, it have a reason. You do it for a reason spiritually. Even you don't understand the spirit will teach you how to serve them. The spirit will teach you how to serve them. Now you can also get a reading. I do spiritual readings. I have a separate website for that as well. And I keep, you know, you can message me on Facebook. I keep these things private because I don't want every Tom, Dick, and Harry contacting me. But it's only $27, and I do a spiritual reading, and it gets into these things. You know, the spirit will let you know what is lacking, you know, et cetera, et cetera. What you need to do, you know, but the spirit, I can feel it. The spirit is teaching you what they need. And even you don't understand it, you know, sometimes, you know, you might wake up. Thank you, Jean-Pierre. You might wake up and just go do something, you know. The spirit will let you know. So don't overlook that. Don't overlook that. That's a serious thing.
I'm not overlooking it. I'm convinced. If it wasn't for
can
what
I make,
I want
can
to
I make
do.
One suggestion to you? And this is only for you. Now, what's for her may not be for the next person. So I don't need everybody going out doing it. But just for you, my love, and I might want to tell you the rest later. So message me on Facebook. But just for you, when you sprinkle, whether it's, you know, a liquor or rum or coffee or something like that, make a demand of the spirit. Make a demand and ask them to show you how to serve them better and show you you know, what it is that you need to do. Just don't, you know, get a bottle of liquor and sprinkle with it without making a demand on it. You know, I can show you, you know, how to make a demand or something like this.
Okay.
But you, you know, you want to do that. You want to do that.
It's
anytime the spirit comes to you, okay?
Yeah.
And they require something from you. And they ask for you something. It's the opportunity for you to get something that you need too. It's
okay.
Not just, oh, what do they want now? You know, it's an opportunity. Okay, the spirit is asking me to get some coffee and libate it for them and sprinkle it for them. You know, okay, when you do that, ask, okay, protect this house. Protect, you know, everyone in this house. Give us spiritual, but something, you know. Ask for something in return. You know, don't ask for $1 million because you don't want them to look at you like a dream, you know.
I understand. I'm more prudent than that. I just want what I'm supposed to get. I want to move on with my life and my children, and I want to look forward to the future. If anything, what I've learned within the last 5 years is that I am definitely different from my family members, and I've been set apart from them. And my mother was the same way. And, you know, I know I have to walk in her footsteps, you know, and continue.
There is, I'm not going to lie, there is a pain, not really a pain, but a solace. There's something that comes when you recognize that your life will never, ever be the same. There was for me when I had to accept my life the way I knew it, the way I built it, the way I spent years to educate it, will never, ever be the same because my life belongs to the spirit until I die.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about it, and I understand, and I feel you when you tell me I got this spirit, you know, that passed down to me. Oh, my goodness, they done told me I got 90 seconds, but I understand it. So we're going to go deeper, you know. I want to go deeper. I got 90 seconds, and I'm on air, so it's like I can't. I'm sorry?
Could you just list your website and contact information real quick?
My email is my name. It's Odette, O-D-E-T-T-E, and then the 561 @yahoo.com. So it's Odette 561 @yahoo.com. You know, once you go, and then my website is Miss Odette, MSODETTE, MissOdette.com. So,
okay.
You know, you can find me, you can, you know, message me something and leave your phone number because I will call you back. But I'm going to thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling me.
I really do.
Okay,
I'm sorry for the background noise.
You're okay. All right, thank you. Okay. I want to thank everybody who called in. Thank you so much. I want to thank everybody who here. And I want to wish you peace, love to everybody in the sound of my voice who tuned in with honor and respect. Thank you. And tune in next week, Saturday at 4 p.m. I love you.